The show that takes you home. The Home Stretch with Sterling Holmes on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
The Chiefs are heading back to the Super Bowl. Sometimes you have to keep reminding yourself to say this. Sometimes you have to say, you know what? Pinch me. Because when I was a little tyke, when I was a child, I dreamed of this day. When I'm watching Matt Cassel sling the rock, when the Chiefs don't throw a touchdown to a wide receiver in a season, when my favorite player was the offensive line or a fullback, we're here, baby. We're here. Briscoe, you're here.
No matter how many times you ask me on air or off air, Sterling, I'm not going to pinch you.
I'm actually wearing green. I always wear green for this obscure reason.
You're about a month and a half early.
Well, I'm really bad when it comes to actually remembering the whole St. Patrick's Day.
You're going to actually wear green every day until St. Patrick's Day.
Forget.
And then hope people jump on it and go, all right, time to pinch Uncle Stu.
My phone is green for this reason. Does that
count?
You
don't wear a phone. Unless...
Well, no, I'm a big... old school, like, you know those old Nokia?
Yeah.
Like flip phones?
Like a holster for
the holster,
it?
Yeah.
You got it hooked on your belt of your jeans that also have the little, like, hook on the leg.
Of course, yeah. And they're also zip-off cargo pants, because you never know.
You never know when you're going to need to hoop a little bit or whatever. You have all that extra space for your enormous pockets.
For carrying bricks.
But you know that at a moment's notice, you can just, hold on, let me zip, hold on, let me just go ahead and you get it like to your calf, it gets stuck on your shoe.
Yeah.
You're like, hold on, I guess I'm going to take my shoe off first. All right, I got one, let me lace this back up. All of a sudden, you've been dunked on.
I will always die on the hill. Well, not really die on the hill, because I don't want to die.
Seems dramatic.
But it seems a little over the top, but I will always... quite not understand cargo pants or shorts unless you are going hiking or using cargo shorts for legitimate reason. Why? You just have 37 pockets and what you do, carry a pocket knife?
No, this
is... I've never understood it. Like, when I see a whole bunch, I want to carry bricks and just, like, slowly start dropping them into folks' pants because it would make me laugh.
Maybe you just get, like, $20 in pennies.
Like, yeah,
you are now paying $20 for this bit, but some bits are worth it.
Some, they're worth it.
I do think that's a pretty good question. Now, I have become a little bit of a small bag guy, but less recently. But when I first got the Beatus and all that, I had a lot of bleep to carry around.
Sure,
right?
Yeah.
I got my little monitor and my insulin and all that. Now I've got mostly stuff that sticks to me literally, so it's not as big of a deal. But like now, I carry two phones. I'm Kevin Gates with diabetes.
Yeah.
So I like to call myself actually the Kevin Gates of diabetes.
The Kevin Gates of diabetes. Sing us a song, Kevin Gates.
I don't know that I've got that in me, but I've got two phones. one for the business and one for the carbs, basically, is where I've ended up. And so I do carry a lot of stuff around, even like around the house sometimes. I like to have a hoodie pocket because maybe I'm just like, trying to carry a bunch of stuff down the stairs all at once, and I might just throw, a cheese stick in there. This is a lot of diabetes talk, basically.
Yeah.
Cheese has no carbs. It's a nice little snack. So I like to be able to carry things around, but I don't need a backpack on my thighs,
Exactly.
When I'm in backpack mode, I just bring the backpack.
You rock the backpack.
If I need a little smaller bag, I'll wear a little smaller bag. That's okay.
A merce, if you will. A man purse. Yeah.
Sometimes it's a merce. Sometimes it's smaller. Sometimes it's bigger than that.
A clutch, I believe, is what the ladies call it.
Yeah.
A clutch,
sometimes it's kind of a clutch size. Sometimes just a nice little fanny pack. You turn it into a crossbody bag. I've got bags for days. I'm a bag man.
I'm not a bag guy. The only time I'm a bag guy is for Christmas. Dylan knows this. Yeah, I give gifts in bags. I don't wrap them.
Got it. You don't start using a bag at Christmas. You put your gifts in bags.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, I typically do too. I'm not great at wrapping presents. This is really timely. I'm not great at wrapping presents.
We're only about a month and a half late.
Look, you got 10 months to get ready for next year, so start planning now.
You got Valentine's Day coming up, so this could play.
That's true. Yeah, in Valentine's Day, we're definitely putting that stuff in bags, right? Nobody expects to unwrap a Valentine's Day present. I think you could just hand over it's a heart-shaped box and some flowers that cost me 60 American dollars.
Yeah, I'm not... Why is it 60 American dollars? That was very uncomforting.
Because it's just really, because flowers are really expensive.
What are you going to, I think you were going to say farthings? What is this?
No, it was for emphasis. It was just, I wasn't saying, well, I'm going to stick with what I was going to say, but it's going to sound really bad in the context of this show. I wasn't going to say 60 pounds sterling.
Well, yeah, that would lose a lot of weight. About 115 pounds.
I have a couple of follow-ups that I just don't think I can make. So
no, you can.
Flowers are. No, I was just saying flowers are expensive, and that was for emphasis.
Yeah.
And Renee is generally like very frugal. And
fiance
like,
Renee.
Fiance Renee. Thank you.
I'm very frugal by the way as well.
I also certainly tend to that direction. Spending more than like $10 at a time is not something that gives me joy. I like buying like something that makes me happy for like $3, you know?
Sure.
That's the dopamine gets there, but it you don't have the guilt attached to it. But one place where Renee has proven herself to be at least a little bit bougie is that she likes roses. She likes red roses. And so on Thanksgiving, on Valentine's Day.
You just hit them all, baby.
Every holiday, I'm
on
just
July
like.
4th,
on
she
the
demands.
4th of July.
I blow them up.
I need to get. Actually, what I'll do is I'll keep Valentine's flowers until the 4th of July,
sure.
Dry them out or whatever,
yeah.
And then attach a rocket to that. Boom, look at that.
Romantic.
It's a love explosion.
Briscoe. All right. We're just going to go ahead and move on. We'll end that with love explosion. I don't think the Broncos are having a love explosion.
I think they might be.
I really want to make a couple jokes here.
And I think they're having a love explosion.
I don't think I can get there.
Try.
Which is like the Broncos. They're not going to get there because Russell Wilson, Sean Payton,
Russell
they're
Wilson
doubling
showed up. He said, let's
down.
Ride. And now Sean Payton's there. And they're having a love explosion.
They're just doubling down on a,
yeah.
Hey, draft picks? No, we don't want them.
Yeah,
we'll just get some guys who have these big names. And what makes me laugh, Sean Payton's a good head coach.
Yep.
I'm not saying he's not a good head coach.
Good coach.
But folks act like he's Bill Belichick.
Yep.
And that's where I don't understand this. He was a guy who was a good head coach with a great quarterback.
Yep.
Drew Brees.
A quarterback who was not considered to be a great quarterback before that marriage.
Yep. Fair,
which I
fair.
Think is noteworthy.
Smaller quarterback as well.
Yep.
Sure.
Not as
noodle arm
old,
as well.
Not yeah. as old and washed as his current guy is, but
I
think coming off the shoulder, though, maybe similar a little
yeah.
bit
yeah.
in the sense where you kind of have to, like, really accentuate his strengths.
Absolutely.
You can talk your way, if you're a Broncos fan, to seeing some similarities and say this can make us better.
I
can
talk you into it.
But
I got both two sides of this.
I just don't understand giving up draft capital for a guy who, quite frankly, is good. But it's not, in my opinion, an Andy Reid. It's not a Bill Belichick. It's a good head coach, not elite.
I think most people would say that Sean Payton is probably below but in the same tier as Andy Reid. I think that is too kind to Sean Payton. But I think that's where most people would probably put him. Jason dropped this on us on the Zone, saying, hey, here's a couple of careers. Coach A, Coach B. I'll cut to the chase and tell you they're both incredibly similar. Coach A was Sean Payton. Coach B was Mike McCarthy.
Yeah.
Incredibly similar track records also with Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Again, you can go chicken and the egg all you want. Coaches with Hall of Fame quarterbacks, won one ring and all that. So I think there's something to that. Now, I think Sean Payton's not Andy Reid, not Bill Belichick. I think he's better than Mike McCarthy. And I really do think I could build you an argument for either side. Do you want me to give you my light, like, pro this move case first, if you're the Broncos?
Let's do pro, and then let's try and be positive. You know why? We're a positive show.
We're positive, and also we're going to probably have more ways that we can make fun of the Broncos than that we can praise them.
And your diabetes positive, and we're gonna keep that positivity up.
I don't necessarily think that I've ever heard anyone say you've tested positive for diabetes, but, I mean, yeah, more or less, that's true.
I think Sterling was referencing a South Park episode, potentially, where Cartman and Kyle...
I really wasn't, frankly.
Okay, but you know what I'm talking about.
Credit, though.
Yeah, way to make me sound like I was making a good joke there. I'm just.
Dylan's
really...
a really good producer in that regard, especially of like, you say something really dumb, and Dylan's like, "Oh, what he meant to say was this smart thing." So here's where I think this makes sense for the Broncos. Okay, here's my four case. One is that they more or less traded Bradley Chubb for Sean Payton, and that move in a vacuum is a second round pick in there too. I think right or whatever the conversation ended up settling at. Cool. That move, I think, makes some sense. I do think we have seen now enough examples to see some correlation in coaches who had success leave the game, come back and have success again. Coaches who have learned what it means to be an NFL head coach, and frankly, even guys who have been an NFL head coach and then failed and then come back around. I've kind of retired the concept of a retread because I am actually seeing some of the value in that. I think it was Robert Mays on the Athletic Football Show who said, what would the Chiefs have given up for Andy Reid? If they would have had to have given up picks. Now, again, I'm conflating Sean Payton and Andy Reid. Forgive me for making it not quite even there. At the time, would you have given up the number one overall pick for Andy Reid? I probably wouldn't have. In retrospect, would you have given up every first-round pick from 2013 through the one that was used to select Patrick Mahomes? Absolutely, I would. The other thing is that, kind of a two-parter, when Nathaniel Hackett got there last year, he said, hey, this is going to be an offense that does what Russell Wilson likes. I don't think that's going to happen this year. I think Sean Payton's going to try to maximize him, but it's not going to cater to him. And now, last year, who was the face of the Denver Broncos?
Russell Wilson.
Not a trick question.
Okay. Russell Wilson. I was waiting for the shoe to drop there.
Who's the face of the Broncos right now?
You'd probably say Sean Payton.
I think it's Sean Payton. And I think if you're the Broncos and you are in such a dark place as to the face of your franchise is a laughing stock, you are aimless in the head coaching position. Look, we'll talk about D'Amico Ryans in a second. But like, if you're going to say first-time head coach D'Amico Ryans, he's got a real gravitas to him at this point that might have been able to do a little bit of that. But Sean Payton has been an excellent head coach. We've seen it happen. So I think that it can make some sense in that regard of kind of reforming the franchise a little bit. And also, this had to be a part of the conversation with the Broncos. This is not Sean Payton being traded for and hired to fix Russell Wilson. It is, hey, you've got Russell Wilson for this period of time and you're going to have to make lemonade. But then after, if that doesn't turn into a better relationship after the Russell Wilson era, you're the guy that's going to pick our next quarterback as well. And frankly, for like the Chiefs' perspective, that's the first time that I would begin to be even a little bit worried about the Broncos.
Yeah, because until then, until they can actually get out from underneath Russell Wilson, I don't mean to be cocky, but there's no reason to assume they're going to be a good team anytime soon. He's not going to all of a sudden bounce back. If you want to make the correlation, that, like you mentioned earlier, you can get the best out of a guy who's no longer what he once was, a shell of himself, and get the best out of him like he did with Drew Brees. You can make that case. That Saints team was also better overall.
Yeah,
they were a much better team.
Now, it was funny, and I was against this at the time, so I'm playing both sides a little bit, but last offseason, and for so many offseasons in a row, it's been, oh, the Broncos roster is so good. They're just a quarterback away. Well, now they don't have Bradley Chubb, and no, they're not. And they weren't this year either, and they weren't before the Russell Wilson trade. But I understood why they made the Russell Wilson move when they did. I understand why they made the Sean Payton move when they did. I also do not think it's necessarily set this franchise up for much of anything.
I think I should say they were one very good quarterback away. If they would have had the prime Russell Wilson,
sure,
they would have been at least a playoff team.
Right. But if you're talking about, oh, well, all they needed was Derek Carr. If they would have had Derek Carr this year, they're better, but they're not,
exactly.
They're not a playoff team.
They needed a top seven quarterback.
They are outside looking in on the fringe with Derek Carr.
Yeah. You need a guy competing with Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes as far as skill level.
Right. Yeah. Right. Again, they already swung and missed on Russ. I think Payton can help them accentuate the positives like we talked about. Would you like to hear the funny thing, and we can dunk on the Broncos some now? I have some funny tweets that I'd like to make you aware of.
Very quickly.
No rush.
I want to hear these tweets.
Take your time.
The Saints received the Broncos 2023 first-round draft pick.
Bradley Chubb.
29th overall.
Yep.
2024 second-round pick for Payton. And the Saints 2024 third-round selection.
Goes back.
Right. Yes.
So it's a first, and basically the Broncos moving back next year from their spot at two to the Saints spot in the third. Those just, it's a little pick swap, but basically there. So good compensation, though. Sorry, my Apple Watch said, it gave me an article called Maybe It's Not All Russell Wilson. Broncos fans trying to talk themselves into it. Did you see some of the tweets as the news was originally coming out back on Tuesday? Ian Rappaport and Adam Schefter had some disagreements. Now, we've talked about this a little bit. I love insider beef.
Sure.
I don't even know what that would be as a double entendre. It just sounded bad when I said it, so I needed to collect my thoughts. Insider beef is is what you want to be rare to medium rare, you know, on the steak. That's the insider beef. So,
this was well done, is what you're saying.
Say again?
This was well done.
No. This is raw. the insider beef here is raw. In Rappaport tweets, unbelievable. The Broncos spent today trying to hire D'Amico Ryans again today before he recommitted to the Texans, sources say. When he agreed to terms with the Texans, they moved and finalized Sean Payton. Then Rappaport says as well, the Broncos the last few weeks zeroed in on D'Amico Ryans, secretly tried to lure Jim Harbaugh from Michigan, negotiated a Sean Payton deal, tried to hire Ryans again, finalized the hire of Payton as their new coach. Now that paints a picture of an organization fundamentally broken, totally in disarray, ownership just throwing darts, a GM that is not in charge anymore, just button mashing. That's a button mashing organization.
That's a dude who's playing Super Smash Bros. Who has no idea what they're doing. They're just pressing any single button, and hopefully one works.
Adam Schefter tweets, timing of today's two hires was completely coincidental. Broncos were zeroed in on Sean Payton and didn't make any contact this week with D'Amico Ryans or his agent. Denver was focused on Payton and Houston on Ryans.
That is also what is regarded as Broncos PR.
I would like to make you aware of a tweet from Adam Schefter on March 8th, 2022, when he tweeted, Denver acquiring Russell Wilson has nothing to do with the Aaron Rodgers decision to return to Green Bay. Denver general manager George Payton initiated trade talks with Seattle for Wilson at least 2 weeks ago, per sources.
Caught red-handed.
This is a little media literacy course for all of our illustrious listeners. When you follow the trail of, hey, who benefits by having this information out there? Houston and D'Amico Ryans probably benefit from having Rappaport's information out there. Denver is certainly saving face with the information that Schefter's putting out. And then once you begin to see that, once you take whatever pill they take in the Matrix, the red pill, it's the red pill, right?
Why not both? Just pop both.
Once you take both Matrix pills, you can start to see the connections on all of these things, and it becomes funny to just sort of see it be essentially team PR. However it actually panned out is hysterical. I'm choosing to believe the Rappaport side.
Sure, me too.
Because I think that one has fewer agendas there to support it. Like, again, and it maybe it sounds good for Houston and D'Amico Ryans, but they don't gain much from a little drama of him not being like kind of noncommittal.
Yeah.
So I find that hilarious. And in that regard, you know, when you got to give up a first round pick and a little pick swap to go get your third choice at head coach, you just got to do it.
You just got to do it.
Just got to do it.
When you have to give a guy an extremely large contract, but he's never played a snap for you and he's under contract for another year, you just have to do it.
And that's the thing where it's like, well, this just hasn't been an organization that has operated like a team with a cohesive vision.
Thank you.
And a plan of what they want to accomplish. Dylan, your thoughts.
That is, well, you just said them. Like, let's look at the body of work over the past just year between those two franchises. While both extremely dysfunctional, which one has been operating at a lower level and a more dysfunctional level so far in this season? I would say the Broncos, especially in this coaching hiring process. They've been to Jim Harbaugh twice.
Yeah.
which has to be an embarrassment on a bunch of different levels, but mainly in the sense that now you're using Adam Schefter as your PR because you – I just wholeheartedly believe Ian Rappaport based off of all the actions that the Broncos have mistakenly or whatever you want to call it taken in this offseason trying to find a coach.
It's just you mentioned it, just no cohesiveness. They have seven dudes is what it sounds like. They each have their own favorite and they're all going to try and see who they can get. And whoever has the best offer is like, okay, we'll go with that guy.
Taking
it's like
Colts
a competition.
Method. Doing the Colts method.
Right, really. And like you can luck into that a little bit, right? If you do luck into the right head coach and quarterback, well, let's go back to the Colts. You could be Jim Irsay, who I don't necessarily know he ever sat down with a 10-year plan, but he had Peyton bleeping Manning, Peyton got hurt, he got Andrew bleeping Luck, and he had pretty good head coaches throughout most of that with a great quarterback at the core of it. Quarterback goes away, things start falling apart. So that's another thing with, like, again, I mean, I don't necessarily feel a need to go out of my way to really make sure everybody knows how great Clark Hunt is because I do think that organizational success means a lot of people have to be successful. But you know what I don't find Clark Hunt doing a whole lot of? Needless meddling. He got in on that level when the Scott Pioli debacle turned into a debacle and there was organizational dysfunction at that time. And then really, honestly, I've spoken to Clark Hunt a handful of times. I don't know if he's a super genius or just kind of doing his thing out there vibing. But once he got Andy Reid into the building, if it was geniusness or luck or something in between, I'm guessing it was a very well-informed decision by a guy who does actually know football, being Clark Hunt, does actually know business, does actually know the NFL, is actually respected within the league. He went, you know what? This is the guy that I think is going to come in here and create an organization with a functional plan. And I wasn't elated about the Alex Smith trade when it happened. I would have rather had the shot at Geno Smith at number one overall because I was just dying to have some faith in something new again. Mm. And there was an organization with a plan, and now here we are more than a decade, almost exactly a decade later, watching them in a Super Bowl for the, about to watch them in the Super Bowl for the third time in 4 years.
It's trust. It's coming to trust the moves you make, too, by the way.
Yeah, right.
It's if you're going to make this move, believe in it. Clark Hunt's believed in his moves. Jerry Jones is not believing his move. Just another organization, not Denver.
He's more of a meddler.
Well, if he believes in it,
very much
he doesn't really believe in it. He'll tell you he believes in it.
Right.
But Mike McCarthy, I don't think is on the hot seat, but even if he would have lost that first game in the playoffs, folks were saying he's probably gone.
Oh, no.
Is that a guy he believes in?
No, it's a guy that he can puppet. It's the same, like, yeah, ever control. Since Barry Switzer, 95. That's like the worst thing that could have ever happened for the Cowboys franchise because they won a Super Bowl doing it Jerry's way. And so then, ever since then, see Bill Parcells, that poor guy, he took him to the playoffs, almost the NFC Championship 2 years in a row, and something fell apart between them because he didn't get enough power. And it's just meddling, like Josh was saying. Clark Hunt really doesn't mess with it unless he absolutely has to.
Well, and there have been conversations about, hey, like Clark Hunt doesn't want them to spend their first-round pick when they're picking in Kansas City if they can help it. But also, he was ready to say, yeah, give up our first-round pick this upcoming year if you believe in this quarterback. I don't think Clark Hunt said, let me in the film room, I want to grind. He legitimately might have been like, explain to me why you like this guy. Which I think if you're an owner of a team, that's well within your rights. It shouldn't be, let me sit you down, coach, and let me tell you why I like this quarterback. Yeah. But explain it to me. If I was Clark Hunt, I would sit there and say, hey, Andy Reid, I'm signing your checks. If I get a little crash course from you as to why you like Patrick Mahomes, not Mitch Trubisky or whatever, that would be awesome. And it's just, again, it's an organization that feels functional. And that is not a guarantee. I'm not trying to segue us straight into the Super Bowl. We still got some time before that game gets around. Yeah. But you're talking about an organization that feels like it's got some cohesion in it. The Eagles were in the Super Bowl 5 Super Bowls ago with a different head coach and a different quarterback. Now, head coach is obviously a big – head coach and quarterback are the easiest ways to have continued sustained success. But to be able to do it totally the opposite way without ever really getting bad – it never got bad in Philadelphia.
No.
They got impatient and tired of Dougie P. And now he's over in Jacksonville having a grand old time.
Well, it's Philly.
It's
Come
Philly,
on. It's Philly.
The fact that Andy Reid was there for as long as he was a miracle. A miracle.
Oh.
A testament to how good he was.
Before we get too far off that little topic there, that should be the rallying cry for our team all of these 2 weeks. Is I know it's cordial. I know they like each other. I know Andy has no resentment towards Philly. But they told your coach to kick right. They said, Andy, we've seen enough. We're going to go in a different direction at the end of the day, and that should be hopefully a low-key motivating factor for our team.
I think there'll be something there.
You fired Andy.
The funny thing is, I was
– For Chip Kelly.
Well, that was
– Which
that,
is so funny because he's the only horrible. Bad head coach they've had in the mix.
That's true.
It was for Chip freaking Kelly.
We had one good year.
Was that first year they have a winning record, like 10-6?
I thought they had that one good year with Chip Kelly.
I think you're right.
And everyone was like, it caught
it
them by
Nick Foles.
It caught
Nick
them.
Foles, and they went like 10-6.
I think 10-6 is what I'm betting on. Did he get fired during year two, or did he get into year three?
According to sources within that team, he was making players drug test every day. They had to.
It's a college. It's a college coach.
He was, your prototypical. I'm going to be a college coach in the NFL.
Yeah, it didn't work out.
They went 10-6 both of his first 2 years. We both get a dub on that, Dylan. And then in year three, he went 6-9, which isn't very nice, and got fired.
You can't have a bad year in Philly. Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl, had one bad year, and they said you're out.
And then the next year, he was the head coach.
Was it San Fran?
Yes. People forget this, I wouldn't blame you. He was the head coach for 1 year in San Francisco. He went 2-14 and got canned.
No, I remember that one because that was when he was really trying hard with the Wildcat and doing college stuff in the NFL, and teams had wised up to it. Didn't work.
How long did the San Francisco tenure last? A year or two?
He got the full year, but it was just one and done.
Yeah. And then what was it, Tom Sula after that?
Jim Tom Sula. Ugh. Oh, yeah.
We're pulling some names,
baby. Was that before or after Mike Singletary?
This is the San Francisco 49ers, man. An absolute class organization. Hired Chip Kelly and then, what was the other guy? I forgot his first name.
Jim Tom Sula.
Jim Tom Sula.
Oh, you know what? No, they went from Chip Kelly to Kyle Shanahan. So Chip Kelly was the response to Jim Tom Sula.
Oh, that's right.
Which was the response
to Harbaugh.
Yep. Which was the response to Mike...
Singletary.
To Mike Singletary, right? Okay, there we go. So that's the order of operations.
They're lucky they got Shanahan.
Yeah.
It is kind of funny. They're like,
and if you guys ever want to get rid of him, just wait till 10 years when Andy retires and we'll tag him.
God, I would... You know how excited that would make me?
It'd be incredible, and it'd be such a weird change of pace going from a pass-happy offense to all of a sudden being able to run the football.
Just constantly.
No matter who's back there.
Deadly efficient, too.
You know what
Kyle Shanahan would look like if he had Patrick Mahomes also? Think about how easy it would be to run the ball when you also... Ugh.
He's made Jimmy G look good.
Dylan right now is flushed. Yeah. Dylan's over there fanning himself.
I've told people I wanted Sean Payton and Sean McVay whenever they decide to come back after Andy retires. And I'm hoping that it just kind of coincides.
McVay might be the one that times out for you.
I think that one might time out for
us. But I forgot how high you were on Sean Payton. So, did we say anything unfair? I imagine you wouldn't balk at a first-round pick, at least for an organization that's in a place
for
that
us.
Would make sense.
If let's say the Super Bowl, we win the Super Bowl and Andy retires, out of nowhere, and says, hey, this is the best way to go out. I want to go home, spend time with Tammy, yada, yada. It's time. I would tomorrow trade our first-round pick for this year's draft for him.
To the Broncos. It's like, hey, yeah. Denver, let's go ahead. It's not official yet.
No, the same. Right. And just because of the quarterback. I think that he is a Parcells-esque coach where he demands perfection from the players, but he's also just enough of a player's coach to where it's not like Belichick.
You're forgetting something, though.
Sean Payton doesn't seem miserable to
right.
me.
You're forgetting something. The Chiefs already have a coach of the year, winning head coach.
That's right.
On this roster, Matt Nagy, baby.
Playoff coach of the year.
Yeah.
Went to the playoffs with Mitch Trubisky. Imagine what he could do with Patrick Mahomes.
And we burn this big of a spot on his play sheet so he can put BU on there. So we just take out 10 great plays so he can write BU on the back of his play sheet. Yeah,
I love finding the things that Dylan cares about too much.
Cheers is great.
That right there is a beautiful Easter egg.
Because he really got upset by it.
He really hates Matt Nagy. He hated the BU thing. I did not know how bad that bugged you.
It didn't bug me, but it's like,
do you like Matt Nagy?
Hold on, new question, Dylan.
Do you dislike Matt
Nagy? Hold on. Everybody shut up.
Perfect in an offensive coordinator position. I just think that there's some coaches where when you expand their responsibilities, it kind of dilutes their specialty. I think he's one of them.
What if the play sheet said, bug you, Dylan Michaels, on the corner, and it was a shout-out directly to you because he knew how much it bothered you?
Yeah.
Stock up or stock down for you?
Ooh.
You're
he's pandering, so I'd say stock down.
Oh.
He's pandering to you,
yeah, but
though.
It's directly to you, Dylan.
I know. If it was, I hate Dylan Michaels, I'd actually probably be like, man, this guy's got some grit to him. You know?
Well, but it says it doesn't say be you anyway. It says bug you.
See, my headset is just going in and out.
That doesn't sound right.
No, that can't be
so
right.
So, yes.
It literally doesn't sound right, actually.
Yeah, no. That's pretty good.
I'm cool with Matt Nagy being the offensive coordinator for once Eric Bieniemy gets the Colts job or something. I don't know. Fingers crossed and knock on wood.
He's got to be better than Jeff Saturday.
Come on, Jim. Jim, think about it for 1 second, Jim. Let's take a break. I got to call Jim Irsay.
All right. Briss is going to call Jim Irsay. We come back, talk Tom Brady retiring, and someone special made the Pro Bowl. Welcome back in, Briscoe, still with us.
Hello.
The big news of the past couple days, no, it's not Sean Payton.
No.
No, it's not Tom Brady.
No.
No, it's not the Super Bowl.
No.
It's Tyler Huntley, baby.
Snoop.
Making the Pro Bowl. Two touchdown passes.
Yeah.
658 yards, which ranks a nice 48th overall in the NFL. Obviously deserving.
Well, also, it's nice to see good people get awarded opportunities like that. And I thought he did something really nice when he gifted a playoff game to the Bengals that they should have lost.
It's
really thoughtful.
I don't. Derek Carr, by the way, also added to the playoff. Or Pro Bowl.
Just go ahead and say it.
Why did I say playoff? Because he's not going to be there. We know that. Yeah.
Why didn't you just go ahead and say the sentence, Sterling? Pro Bowl quarterback Derek Carr.
It hurts.
Nah, it doesn't. He's fine.
Here's one better. Pro Bowl reserve quarterback.
Third alternate Derek Carr.
I just don't understand.
I don't even know if it was the third alternate. It could have been more or less than that. I just picked a number that seemed reasonable.
The Pro Bowl already has very little meaning, but it sucks because when you look back on players' careers,
yep.
As much as we say all pros, that's what really matters. We will still, I almost guarantee it, we'll say, how many Pro Bowls did he go to?
Yep.
It's such a watered-down product. Or meaning, at least. There's so many people who probably deservingly should make the Pro Bowl, yet don't. And now we have Tyler Huntley. Nothing against him, but he's a backup quarterback that played a few games, threw two touchdown passes, and he's now a Pro Bowler.
The reason that I am not, like, worked up about it, I guess, is because the worst thing that happens from it is that guys who aren't terribly deserving get an award they probably shouldn't have. The inverse is that it can get used against a guy like Mitchell Schwartz, who infuriatingly is still at zero, regardless of if you go starter, reserve, backup, any of that. He's a zero on the Pro Bowl list, despite being one of the best right tackles in the history of football. Like, he was a technician out there. And like, yeah, that's frustrating because it does get used in things like Hall of Fame stat lines and legacy conversations. In the micro, it doesn't bother me one bit. If Huntley gets to go to Vegas and have some fun in a flag football game and play the other games, and he gets to make a little bit more of a name for himself and introduce himself to some people who may have not been watching Ravens games at the end of the year that didn't have Lamar Jackson in them, hey, man, cool. I kind of wish every NFL player got to go through that experience, right? Like, that would be kind of neat. And also, yeah, of course, it really, it waters down what it means to say when Patrick Mahomes retires as a 25-time Pro Bowler, it's like, well, okay, that's cool, but Tyler Huntley was a 4-time Pro Bowler because the games didn't mean anything anymore. Or even the awards themselves didn't really mean anything anymore. So I wonder if there might be an adjustment to that, especially now that there's not even an actual game to be had, that as guys can't go, maybe there will be a different category for the alternates, or they might just say, hey, these guys aren't here.
Come hang out.
Right,
you're not
sure.
A Pro Bowler, but you can be available at the Pro Bowl stuff. You can be participating.
You can play in the flag football game if you want. Yeah.
Hell, I would like to see DeAnthony Thomas. Like, think of that. He'd be incredible in flag football.
Yeah, it'd be unreal.
Just differentiate between reserve and the person that was actually voted at the beginning.
We do first team, second team, all pro. We could probably just do first team, second team,
he was
alternate
Pro Bowler. That's still like a kind of pseudo accomplishment, like saying he's an alternate Pro
Absolutely.
Bowler. He was the top six at his
dog.
Position.
He threw two touchdown passes all season long.
I mean, Huntley is like the outlier of all outliers.
Well,
Derek Carr's not a great one.
Here's a little tinfoil cap theory. Are the Ravens maybe not behind this, but will they use this as maybe leverage or some form of negotiating tactic when trying to make a deal with Lamar Jackson? Like, we have a Pro Bowl backup. So we don't really need you.
If they try that, Lamar Jackson should just swivel around in his chair.
I agree.
And just scoot out cackling.
But the
just
fact
scoot,
that.
Scoot,
yeah,
scoot,
with
scoot,
the chair. Yeah. And you know how slow it is.
Yes.
They're trying to open the door and it doesn't like fit right and you're hitting the hinges.
I'm just waiting for a Baltimore beat reporter or someone to make that statement. Like, the Ravens are more than happy with just tagging Lamar because of their belief in Snoop Huntley and his Pro Bowl year of backup reserve duties, basically. Like,
I believe he threw more interceptions than touchdowns this year. I think he threw 3 interceptions and only had 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, it's a good ratio. It is not a good development. A bizarre one.
Yeah, he threw 2 touchdown passes and had 3 interceptions. That's great.
Yeah, it's not deserving. A traditional Pro Bowler sort of performance. No.
Who would we put in there besides him?
I was going through that in my
head.
Chad
Henne?
And I literally could not keep straight who has and hasn't been named to it already.
Yeah.
I really don't know, which is also sort of damning. But, like, do you know who
Trevor
had a better
Lawrence,
stretch as a backup?
Trevor Lawrence replaced Pat. And
right.
And who replaced Josh?
Is Derek Carr replacing Josh Allen?
Replacing Josh Allen is what I saw.
And Carr's replacing Burrow?
I guess, yeah.
Damn, you think Joe would want to, you know,
first off, Lamar Jackson was probably more deserving than Tyler Huntley, too.
Who?
Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, sure.
You know what? I was about to make that point why would you not just put Lamar there?
Well, because is he still
hurt or something?
I don't. Yeah, he wouldn't. There's no way. I don't think you can be named an alternate and then not play, right? Is that true?
Tua Tagovailoa has now been cleared from his concussion. They could have had him.
Could have done that.
But actually, he was a Pro Bowler until he got hurt. Basically, right? He was on a Pro Bowl type track. Right now in the AFC, you probably might not have popped those three guys. But he would be a fine alternate if he would have been healthy.
Kenny Pickett.
I'm not even kidding. This is not me making a joke right now.
Why are you making this about you?
Russell Wilson was more deserving than Tyler Huntley.
Disagree.
Yeah, I gotta disagree. That's the one. I think that's the only player that was worse.
Nope, Zach Wilson.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Surprisingly, when I did the QBR numbers, I didn't do it at the end of the year. I that last game from Zach Wilson may have made him worse, but QBR wise, Zach Wilson was actually better than Russell Wilson. Let that one sink in.
We did that bit here,
and it was
so. Kenny Pickett is a no for both of you.
Yeah,
Joe Flacco?
That's a no.
What did
That'd
Joe
be
Flacco
a no.
do?
Oh my god!
He threw 2 touchdown passes and 3 interceptions. We're not having a high standard here.
I'm old enough to remember Sterling Holmes on this show saying that get your bets in and get everyone gather around the television because this is the last day you have to bet against Joe Flacco. That was from your mouth. One time.
By the way, guys,
did Justin Herbert ever get named into any of the mix? Because he's the next best quarterback in the AFC that we haven't talked about, right?
No, guys. Joe Flacco threw 5 touchdowns.
Can I go home?
And 3 interceptions.
I don't want to be here anymore.
He actually makes a good point.
Like,
we should go home.
Tyler Huntley should not have been a Pro Bowler. We all agree.
That's my point. Joe Flacco was more deserving than Tyler.
Did Herbert get in?
I'm not saying Joe Flacco should be a Pro Bowler. My point is Joe Flacco.
Sterling,
did
please stop saying
more.
That Joe Flacco should have been a Pro Bowler.
Joe Flacco's elite. We're getting back on this train.
Was he even a Pro Bowler in 2012?
Justin Herbert's having shoulder surgery. I forgot about that.
Oh, that's right.
I think that Tyler Huntley was just like the last AFC quarterback other than Zach Wilson who isn't hurt.
To me, I would have done Pickett over Huntley. That's just me. Because you did Mac Jones last year, so why would Kenny Pickett be any different?
Okay, so Mahomes was the starter. Allen and Burrow were backups. The alternates were Tua, Herbert, and Jackson. Out, out, out.
Bailey Zappe was better than Tyler Huntley this year, by the way.
I was so close to saying Bailey Zappe is a joke, and I didn't even know that.
Yeah. 5 touchdowns. Again, same amount of interceptions, 3. Higher passer rating and more yards.
So I think both of our quarterbacks that we fought over being better might be replaced next year.
Trey Lance, you mean?
Trey Lance and Mac Jones might be replaced.
Trey Lance is back, baby.
Late round.
It's UCL. He's going to be out a while.
I also just would mention, you know who legitimately also was on a closer to Pro Bowl track than some of the other guys we've mentioned so far this year until he got yanked?
Whom?
Jacoby Brissett. He was playing pretty good football until Deshaun Watson came back.
Well, wait
like,
a minute.
Here's the franchise.
How bad is that for the Browns when Deshaun Watson you give all his money to and Tyler Huntley beats you out for the alternate Pro Bowl spot?
It's hilarious. Yeah. It's good. I prefer it. Brissett would have been worthy, but... Yeah.
All right, I mean,
these are real sliding scale. Let's
move on here because I just thought it was funny. And Bailey Zappe and Joe Flacco again more deserving than Tyler Huntley. Tom Brady says he's retiring from football for good. He posted a video that actually looked legitimate. He was believable in it. It feels like he's gone for good. You're smirking over there, so I don't think you believe it.
He's retiring from training camp. Trey Lance is going to lose his job to a seventh round pick, but it's not. But it's not Brock Purdy. It's Thomas Edward Patrick Brady.
He was a sixth rounder.
I figured it was 200 and something. 200 on the dot. Is that right? Late round pick.
There you go.
Into the sixth. Is that right? It wasn't. It was. Was it 200?
I'm looking up the draft class.
I thought everybody in the NFL media had Tom Brady's draft pick tattooed on their arm.
That was me being every, I don't know what, every Tom Brady hater. I don't know. I was trying to scroll back through the AFC settings to see if I could standings to see if I could decide if Ryan Tannehill deserved the spot. He's hurt.
199th overall.
Matt Ryan is 199. Damn, I definitely should know that. Matt Ryan, Pro Bowler, guys. What do you think?
Could have been
Davis Mills.
Ooh. Again, more deserving.
You're out of quarterbacks,
than
though.
Tyler Huntley. Yeah.
Amazing. Okay. Yeah. Anyway.
So,
what are we talking about?
Do you legitimately think Tom Brady's done?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really do think that there is like a world in which Brock Purdy's UCL takes longer to come back from and Trey Lance gets hurt in training camp and Kyle Shanahan's like, Tom, come home, buddy. Tom, listen. We have all the weapons. We got an offensive line. We've got the best defense in football. One more ride.
At that point, Jimmy G is coming back.
No. This is the Tom Brady phone call. This is the bat signal. I imagine that he's actually done, but I think I thought he was done last time. It would be crazy to be the boy who cried retirement multiple times. That would be nuts.
Well, Brett Favre did four?
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. Why? I mean, look, if Tom Brady has Brett Favre's retirement in mind, a whole lot of bad stuff still has to happen.
Yeah, just stay away from your multimedia messaging. That's all.
And also, money allocated for the poorest people of your state. You know, like those kind of things. Brady got really into crypto, man.
Hey.
He got really into crypto. I'm nervous about Brady.
If we start seeing some Copperfit commercials, we know when to be scared. Yeah.
If those Brady Copperfit commercials
all
start.
All of a sudden, Jerry Rice is now out. It's going to be Gronkowski and
oh,
Tom Brady.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
that's
going to
happen,
it.
Dude.
Somehow, Wes Welker is going to get thrown in the mix.
All of this. I think Julian Edelman's too young. I think you nailed it. I think you nailed it. Whoa. Hey. Do we think Randy Moss ends up in one of those? Because, look, Jerry Rice is too good for Copperfit, right? Yeah. Like, no offense to Copperfit.
He's too good for Planet Earth.
Dante Culpepper.
I think Brady and Gronk, but, like, Gronk feels like he should be wearing Copperfit now, right? Like, just because of the state of his body. I mean, it just seems like he had a robot arm his whole career.
He should have worn it when he played football, like, in the league. He would have been the perfect spokesperson.
But I think you end up waiting, like, 5 years, or you get, like, a 50-year-old Brady and however old Gronk is now, but 5 years older, out there just running around with a bunch of dudes, like, Thanksgiving football, except for it's the greatest quarterback, most accomplished quarterback of all time,
and
the second greatest tight end of all time.
Arming dudes just... By the way, we've talked about commercials so many times on this show. If you don't know what we're talking about, I feel sorry for you.
You do.
You
watch sports. You know what we're talking about.
The Copperfield commercials, and it always drives me insane that somehow Brett Favre and Jerry Rice are on the same team.
It's so unfair.
It's so unfair.
It's
like,
so unfair.
Not even going to split them up. Just
gotta
same
split
team,
those guys. Who would you rather have? Let's take criminal embezzling allegedly or whatever out of the picture here. Who would, if you're drafting for, let's go ahead and make it Brady and Jerry Rice so I don't have to pretend that I've got positive things to say about Brett Favre. If you've got Tom Brady and Jerry Rice on your out there playing ball on your Thanksgiving football game, who do you want to be your team captain?
Jerry Rice. Now here's why. You just throw him the ball and he's coming down with it. Tom Brady's trying to throw me the rock. It's going to go through and bust my nose. I am not catching the ball. I don't care how good of a quarterback you are. I'm not getting extra separation. He can put on the money. I'm breaking some digits. Give me Jerry Rice.
Dylan?
I think I'll take Tom.
Do you want to win, or is it just your play with Tom Brady?
No, there's
because it's a receiver's more dependent position. If it's dependent on me.
No, my point is, you're playing with, let's just say, Bob from accounting. He's not keeping up even with Jerry Rice at this age.
Jerry Rice is 60 years old. No, I don't think you're covering Jerry Rice.
Look around here at 8:10.
No, I'm with you. I'm just telling you how old
I
he is.
I think I could cover Jerry Rice.
You could not cover
you
Jerry
can cover
Rice.
Cover 60-year-old Jerry Rice?
No.
I don't think right now I could cover 900-year-old Jerry Rice.
Now, that was a complete
that might,
sarcastic comment.
Might be able to. I think you probably could.
I don't know, man. I wouldn't feel confident about it.
What would you choose? You're the deciding factor here, because I think, because again, if I'm just going to throw the ball up, he's going to catch it.
Here's where I think that you're a little bit off, and I was leaning towards saying Jerry Rice, but I think I'm going to end up going Brady. It's really close. That's why I asked. I think this is a
okay. Now
a real
Julius Peppers is now involved, and
whoa,
he's allowed to tackle.
I want to be on the guy's team who's allowed to hit.
Yeah.
I don't think that Jerry Rice is getting up necessarily incredibly well at this point. I think he's getting separation from Bob from accounting, but I don't necessarily think he's going to erase a bad quarterback. I think he's going to be open, and then somebody's throwing the ball at his shoelaces a little more often than I'd like. And look, we're not getting that open in the Thanksgiving football game, but all Tom Brady's going to need is like an arm outstretched, and you're right, he's probably going to break some digits, but I'm willing to put that out there, and I think you can get just enough. If you just follow what he says, he's going to get you open, and he'll be able to hit a couple of guys. So I think I'm going quarterback over receiver there. But I do think 60-year-old Jerry Rice would dust every single normal person in America.
Yeah, if you want to tag us on Twitter and give us your thoughts, Jerry Rice or Tom Brady, we should do a poll.
Yeah.
A Copperfit poll. Yeah. JB Briscoe and Homestretch KC. We'll take a quick break, come back, play this or that right after this.
We just did.
Yeah, it was a good start for it.
Yeah.
First, this or that, am I bleeding after I just cut my upper eye with headphones?
It doesn't look like it, but I do love a good headphone mismanagement. You smacked your face into the microphone last segment. I didn't even make a big deal out of it. I mean, I'm worried about you, man. You good?
Yeah, I'm golden. I was sick for a couple of days this week, so I'm easing my way back into this. What's softer, Charmin Ultra Soft or Bengals fans crying about the refs?
I mean, look, Charmin Ultra Soft is pretty soft. But I only wipe my butt with one of them. Just kidding. I'm a bidet guy.
Who has a better O-line, Chiefs or Eagles?
The Eagles' offensive line is... It's the Eagles, and that's no disrespect to the Chiefs.
Does the fact that the Eagles have not played a very good QB outside of Rodgers and Trevor Lawrence in a monsoon matter to you?
Yeah, a little bit. It just adds a little more context to where their defense is at. I think their offensive line is exactly as advertised. Their defense might be a little bit less than.
What is a more annoying accent, Boston or New York?
I think I got a pretty high tolerance for most accents, but also I just sound like this, which I think is just a Midwestern white guy. So I guess I'll go Boston.
Like if someone's like, yeah, let's go to Harvard.
Yeah,
like,
I guess I would go Boston.
Or A. Copernicus, what's going on?
What would you say Steve Spagnuolo's accent is?
Ooh, that's a good question. Massachusetts. That's
more Jersey, more Philly.
That's more...
I don't think he's Boston. I like Spags.
Okay.
And I would listen to Spags read audiobooks.
Better shirt slogan, Burrowhead my ass or Jabroni?
Jabroni. Yeah. I think the phrase Burrowhead my ass really has some implications to it that I'm not...
Yeah.
It's just, and not even, I don't know, man. It's visceral. Not even implication. It's just a visceral phrase.
I just love that Travis Kelce had Mahomes' back and they aired on TV.
Yeah, that's great.
Fat Joe or Lil Jon?
Lil Jon, personally.
Mitochondria is the blank.
Powerhouse of the cell, baby.
Yes. Glad you still remember that. Scale of 1 to 10. How nervous are you about the following injuries? Juju's knee.
8.5.
Hardman's pelvis.
6.
Tony's ankle or hamstring?
7.5.
Sneed's concussion?
2. I just think he'll be back.
Okay. So of Juju, Hartman, and Tony, do they all three play?
Oh, no.
1 miss, 2 miss, all miss.
I think at least one of them's missing, and maybe both. It's really hard to tell. It's going to be – we got to get through the rest of this week, and we'll hopefully get a little more info, but I'm just nervous about getting them as healthy as possible.
Do we hit every single storyline heading into the Super Bowl by the time this, week and a half is up?
No stone will be left unturned.
Which Kelce is the mom rooting for?
Did she say she's rooting for Jason? I'm expecting the split jersey. I'm hoping for that. But I felt like there was something about Jason there.
If the Eagles win, does Jason Kelce walk off into the sunset, retire right then?
I don't know, man. I mean, he's got a pretty good podcasting career ahead of him.
Yeah. All right, Wendy's or McDonald's fries?
Fries, McDonald's.
Overall, Wendy's, McDonald's.
Probably Wendy's, but I don't feel as strongly about it.
Better commercial, Whopper, 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 anything from McDonald's or anything from Wendy's.
Whopper, 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 Whopper.
We're out on that note.
Sterling, you rule.